make Christmas yours with Spotlight. The Gaundy and Maz Show.
Well, the show went international today. That's what happened. Live across Canada.
We crossed international waters our cold friends in the land of Canada.
Yep.
Even though one of them is Australian, the other one is a Vancouverite. Is that the right terminology?
It is, yeah. That's what they say, Vancouverite. And they're a drive show on Z95.3. It's Sutto and Vanessa. They do the drive show. We're breakfast. And we went live on their show. They had us live on theirs. And it's just all learning about Canada. I've not been before, but going on a gap year. And just a good time with the guys. They loved it. Sutto's mum loved it. She lives in Coffs. Apparently was getting messages from all her friends.
That's nice.
So we made her day.
That's a bit sweet. What I did also enjoy, I know that the exercise crossing over to a Canadian drive show was about educating you on Canada because you're heading over there. But what I enjoyed the most was how little Vanessa from the drive show in Vancouver knows about Australia. That
so
was
good.
My favourite part of the chat. Was her thinking that Orlando Bloom is an Aussie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I lost it.
Give an Aussie a shout out. Oh, Orlando Bloom. He's there, isn't he?
No. Not an Australian. No. Soz babes.
So catch that chat in the podcast today. We also launched a brand new segment, Trailer Trash or Trailer Treasure, which I think it's going to help people decide what shows they should and shouldn't watch.
Well, there's so many shows. Like, it's impossible to consume all of the TV and the movies that are coming out, right? So you get a trailer, you get a minute, you get 90 seconds to decide whether or not you want to watch something. Sometimes the trailer is trash. Sometimes it's a treasure.
Today, we decide on the brand new... Now, it's not the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's like a prequel to that show, a bit more dramatised, a bit longer episodes. But there's a brand new show coming our way, which is produced by Will Smith. We decide whether you should watch it in Trailer Trash or Trailer Treasure. Enjoy the podcast. The gap year is fast approaching, Maz. Off to Vancouver in April, Easter, and then it's all away from there. And we thought we'd go live to a drive show in Vancouver, Canada. Sutto and Vanessa from Z95.3. We're live on their show. They're live on ours. Hello, guys.
Hey.
Hello. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. What time is it?
Well, it's good morning to us, but it's good afternoon yesterday to you guys, which is weird.
The past.
Good afternoon in the past.
Afternoon here. And apologies, my accent isn't exciting. I should let Vanessa do all the speaking because she's a Vancouverite, obviously.
Yeah, and you're just a regular, boring Aussie.
Right.
Well, Sutto, because you are Aussie, how long – you do have citizenship there though, right? You're Canadian now.
Yeah, I moved over here 8 years ago.
Eight years.
Was it a gap year when you originally went over to Canada? What sort of took you there, Sutto?
Yeah, I went over on the same visa that you're going over on. So I expected to stay here like a year or two, and then it's turned into 8 years, like with PR and citizenship and all that kind of stuff.
You loved it that much, Sutto. It's that good. That could be my wife and I. We could just become part of the fold there.
You never know.
It's really exciting. So this is cool for Gaundy because I guess you're getting a bit of an insight, Gauns, on, you know, like you're going to be living over there and maybe looking for some work. And this, I feel like we're kind of doing a demo for you right now.
Yeah, don't take any time off, Sutto, because you never know.
But he's coming for your job, mate. No,
that's not true.
What are you doing, man? I think the call's dropping out. Vanessa, you can't speak to him, okay?
No, I've heard your show and it's you're too good at what you do. So the job's all yours. But Vanessa, you're from Vancouver itself, right? So you're born and raised there.
Yes, I'm technically from Burnaby, which is the next city outside of Vancouver. But, you know, if you're from Vancouver, you're from Vancouver, the whole thing.
Yes.
And very fortunate to be from here. I love it so much. I could do without the rain, but it's amazing.
And did you have to get Sutto up to speed with what it's like to be from there? Is there anything you can let me know prior to getting there on a gap year in my mid-30s?
Oh, all the time. Every time he says something, I'm like, dude, you weren't even here for that. Like, you have to know what the 2011 playoffs mean to Vancouverites. It's heart-wrenching. Or he'll say something like, we say a toque, he'll say a beanie. Like, you have to get
Oh, that's an interesting one. A toque. What is it?
A toque. A toque is a beanie. And there's lots of words like that where I'll say a word and I'll think everyone understands what it is and I'll just get blank stares. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Like another one, the dooner?
What
the heck is a dooner?
The doona. Yeah, what do you call it?
We call it a duvet or a comforter.
No, that's wrong, Vanessa. Sorry, you're incorrect. You're outnumbered by Australians.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Yeah, it's pretty fun.
A comforter. And what about in terms of radio, Sutto? What's the differences? Because you've worked Australian and in Vancouver. What's the major differences from what you've seen?
There are lots of radio stations here, probably like, I would say triple or four times the amount that are in Australia.
Really?
Like there's, three or four pop stations. There's a country station here. There's probably like three rock stations, a bunch of talk stations, a bunch of sports stations, a radio station that just plays comedy 24/7.
Well, plenty of channels to work on, Maz.
Well, it sounds like there's way more job opportunities in radio in Vancouver than there are in all of Australia.
Yeah. And how long so your plan, Sutto, to stay there, you're going to stay there forever or do you want to come back to Australia?
I mean, is your job going? Because I've heard Maz is great to work with.
It is, actually.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, we could just do a job swap. That would cut out all of the admin and all of the hoo-ha and the hoops that we've got to jump through to get a new co-host. If you guys just switch it up.
Right. And I told my mum that I'd be on your show and she's been the most excited she's ever been because she's never heard me on hometown radio. She's like, oh my God, are you going to be on Gaundy and Maz, like the breakfast show? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. She's like, she's up early to listen to it. She's so excited.
Oh my God, that's so cute. I love it. Does your mum understand what you do for a job, Sutto? Because my mum, I've worked in media my whole adult life and I swear to God, she still has no idea what I do for a living. I can't explain it to her. It's so funny.
Yeah, she'll listen to a lot of stuff and go, was that supposed to be funny? And I'm like, oh.
Ouch.
Hey, Vanessa, have you been to Australia?
No, I haven't. I've never been. I would love to. I am very scared of spiders, so for now I think I'll pass.
We do have killer spiders here. Do you know what do you know about Australia other than the killer spiders?
Well, I know that you have unbelievable accents. I know that you have the Great Barrier Reef and terrifying nature, but that's what I know. It's pretty few and far between.
You have bears there. They're pretty, they're not cuddly, those things. They look quite dangerous. And you have moose. Have you ever come face to face with a moose in the wild? Those things look terrifying. Like, that's way bigger than a flipping spider.
That's like people thinking that we box kangaroos just to get our way to work every morning.
Gosh.
Well, look, mate, it looks so scenic there. We can't wait to get started. So great to get some tips from you guys. I do appreciate that. And great news for you, Sutto. Your mum's going to hear you live this morning with us.
She's so excited. So thanks for having us on.
Thanks, guys.
Sutto,
can't wait to get there.
What's your mum's name? Can we do like a proper shout out?
Vicky, and my dad's name is Rob. So Vicky and Rob listening right
Vicky
now.
Vicky and Rob Sutto.
Vanessa, anyone you want to give a shout out to? I guess you don't know too many people, but.
I don't know anybody in Australia.
Pick someone famous.
Don't say Steve Irwin because he's dead and that would be awkward.
Yeah.
Orlando Bloom. He's Australian, right?
No,
he's not.
but I don't know anymore.
We will pass on the message to Orlando Bloom, who's a big fan of the show.
He's my favorite Canadian.
Oh my God. Orlando Bloom was married to Miranda Kerr. She's Australian.
Well, that's Australian action.
You could have chosen the Hemsworths? Like, come on.
I don't even think they're hot, though.
Hugh Jackman, anybody. We'll pass on the message, Vanessa. We'll pass it on. Hey, thanks for being on the show, guys. If you know of any jobs going, let me know, and I'll see you in April.
We'll do. And we'll get a welcome beer for you when you arrive in Vancouver, okay?
Yeah, love it.
Trailer trash. Trailer treasure.
There's a lot of trailers that are doing the rounds and for movies, for new TV shows. And it's one of those things where sometimes you watch a trailer and you're like, oh, I don't know. I mean, have you seen the trailer for Tiger King 2? Do you want to watch that show? Are they giving you the highlights or the lowlights? What's going on? It's very confusing.
They're getting good at making trailers, I feel. But sometimes trailers give away too much and you're like, well, I don't even need to watch that show anymore. That's basically everything in it.
Yeah, 100%. Like Tommy Little's comedy show. All the best jokes are going to be in the trailer. I've seen the trailer. Not going to tune in for the show. Don't care. We'll just listen to your radio show in the afternoon. Crack a lot of lols there.
do get tickets if he's performing in a town near you. Get some tickets to see Tommy live. Today, we're not focusing on Tommy. Today, we are focusing on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Oh, yeah, this is an all-time classic, this one. Will Smith. He's done a lot, Will.
All together now. Now
this is all about how.
Okay, so the reason, so did you know that they're doing a reboot of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Because this is news to me. I didn't know that this was happening until, like, boom, the trailer's here.
I found out about this a couple of months ago because I follow Will Smith on socials, and he did this thing where he called the kid who's going to be playing him in it and revealed that he got the role. And it was like this big life-changing moment for the young guy who's going to be playing a young Will, because from what I've seen, it's a prequel to The Fresh Prince.
It is. It's called Bel-Air. Shall we play the trailer and then we can just unpack it?
Let's do it.
This is a story all about how my life got flipped. Show me something. Turned upside down. I looked at my kingdom. I was finally there to sit on my throne.
Bel-Air.
As the Prince of Bel-Air.
It's a 1 hour dramatic analogue of the 90s sitcom that we all know and love, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that leans into the original premise of the show, according to TVLine.com. So Bel-Air dives deeper into the inherent conflicts, emotions, and biases that were impossible to fully explore in a 30-minute sitcom format while still delivering swagger and nods to the original show. It's a drama. It's dramatic.
It looks a little more serious, doesn't it?
It's a lot more serious.
Yeah.
It's twice as long and less Will Smith.
It does help that he's narrating it, though. Like, the fact that he's involved, if he is narrating it, that's his voice that we hear in the trailer. So if he wasn't a part of it, I would be off it, but he's a part of it. And he does some good stuff, Will. He does some good stuff. I'm going to rate it. I'm going with it. I'm going to say...
You're saying trailer treasure?
I'm saying trailer treasure. Yep. That's my guess for this one. That's my prediction for it.
I'm saying trailer trash.
No! Don't do this to me, Will. Oh, Will will be devastated.
I think because it's going to be so different and so serious and so dramatic. And who has an hour to watch TV? I do not have one whole hour to dedicate to one whole show.
And just so split it into two parts. Watch it 30 minutes, take a break, and watch the next another day.
If I'm not going to get the lulls in 30 minutes, I'm tapping out. So I'm saying trailer drop.
That cuts me real deep.
And I
don't even know why.
And I don't feel bad either.
Yeah. Sucked in, Will.
Okay, so we had a chat to Tamin Sersok, who is a very successful actress this week. And she's married to a director. They have two girls. And we were talking about, because Tamin has done a sort of shoot with Mae Gibbs, which is really cool. We were just talking about how her kids are on set, and is that weird? Are they comfortable around the camera? Do they shy away? And she sort of explained that it's pretty normal for them.
You know, I've been in this business for 20 years. My husband's a director. He's on set all the time. Mm. I mean, this is kind of all they know. It's all they love. They really, I mean, my 7-8-year-old really wants to be in movies. She really wants to be in TV shows. She wants to be in magazines. I feel personally like it's a little too young. I think like let the kids be the kids. And so when we do it, they're super excited to be involved. It's like, you know, they follow the camera. They want the camera. Like, yeah, they love it.
They're destined for stardom.
Yeah, well, they love it. That's a good start. And just because they're loving something at a young age, it doesn't mean it's going to evolve into a, you know, like a big Hollywood story. And this is the interesting thing about stage parents. And again, like I don't know. I think Tamin's almost not a stage parent. It just is coincidental that her kids have been around sets and photo shoots, and so they feel really normal around that stuff. And I think she kind of almost wants to steer them in a different direction.
I'll be forcing my kids into it. I'll say, come on, let's go. Let's make some money. Yeah, you've got the talent. I'll be telling them how good they are, and you know, there's no chance of failing in this business. You know, it's not a hard business at all.
That is the kind of parenting that our producer Hayley grew up with. Is that not right, Hayley?
Well, I do have a story for this one. We went shopping, me and my twin sister and my mum, and we were stopped by a modelling scout, I would say, for child modelling.
At what age?
I reckon I was around 8 years old at the time.
That's weird for someone to come up to your parents and say, I think your kids have what it takes to be child models. So basically, if someone did that to me, I'd be like, go away.
She was a bit skeptical, but basically they wanted to take a photo of us. So we were like, yes, mom, let's do it. We got our photos taken. That was it. A few days later.
At the shopping centre?
At the shopping centre, yeah. They had like a little studio set up.
Okay.
So it's legit.
Legit. Yeah, mum was just like, oh, but,
like,
you know.
Mini models talent agency.
I feel like it was something like that. A few days later, mum got a call back. They loved my twin sister, not me. They wanted her to go in and get more photos done. And I was just, we looked the same at that age too.
Yeah, what's the difference? You're twins. How do they pick between the two?
I don't know. Like, and we had photos separately together, but they only wanted my sister Sophie.
So Sophie got into the modelling agency.
Yeah, so then,
and you didn't.
Yeah. So then a few, like, we had to go, we had to actually travel for this. Mum brought me along to the photo shoot that they wanted to do of Sophie, and I was just standing there watching her get all these photos taken, and I was like, that's my dream just shattered.
Oh, front row seat to the heartbreak.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Did your sister go on to continue modelling? And that was the end of your career then and there, was it?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they wanted her to try acting at one point. I don't know, but she was just sort of grew out of it. She's like, oh, if Hayley's not doing it, I won't do it. So she did feel kind of bad.
That's really sweet.
But yeah, it was, I know at the photo shoot, they did get me in for a few photos and
sympathy ones.
Sympathy ones. Yeah, just like, oh, pity. You know?
Pity shots.
That's the thing. We looked the exact same, except they just wanted her. I don't know what it was about her, but I didn't have the spark.
And now you're stuck here with us.
Yeah.
You win.
Joining us this morning, we have the founder of Aussie beauty brand Nila Botanics. It's Rochelle Curry. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi, Maz and Gaundi. How are you guys?
Look, we're fantastic. And we wanted to just give you a bit of space on the show to talk about this really incredible Christmas campaign that you're running.
Yes. So until the 20th of December, we are donating $20 from every single product sold to Food Bank. And we are aiming to raise $50,000 to provide 100,000 meals to people in need during this time of year. As you know, it's been a crazy couple of years and the need is so high. And one in three people that are actually requesting assistance at the moment have never needed any sort of assistance before. So there's a lot of need out there. So we're just wanting to do our bit.
They do say that a lot of people are one paycheck away from something like this happening. You know, you never know when you might find yourself in this position.
Exactly. It's so, and if we can do even the smallest thing to help as many people as we can, that's something I'm super passionate about.
And so where does that passion stem from, Rochelle? What's your connection to, I guess, being, you know, wanting to do charitable work, but especially for Food Bank?
Yeah, so my parents are refugee. Well, we were refugees. So they moved here over 30 years ago with nothing but one suitcase. So literally my parents came with one suitcase and, like, I think my mum said like $200 and that was it. And they came to Australia fleeing war in Sri Lanka. And it was really the generosity of so many people that really helped us. So we were refugees for 7 years before being granted permanent residency. And obviously, like, being a refugee, there's no Medicare. It's quite hard to get rental properties. It's quite hard to, like, get jobs and things like that. And we had this amazing doctor that gave us free medical care.
Wow.
We had this beautiful, like, elderly couple that were our neighbours who rented our home, like, gave us a house to live in, and, you know, without, like, an official rental agreement, but just, you know, were able to help us in that way. And just, like, amazing communities. Like, I remember, like, the fruit and veg grocer that would tell us, like, the days when you know, specials were going to be on. So, you know, like, not to buy now, come back tomorrow at this time and purchase things. So just little things like that really helped us sort of get ahead. Now I'm a mum myself, and knowing that that's kind of what they went through when we were kids is really really something that I just want to be able to help others in that same way if we can.
This is what it takes, isn't it? I mean, I know we're trying to raise the money for Food Bank and the money certainly helps, but it's the help from others, just the little things like that, like someone accepting you in a rental without any references or,
exactly,
as you said, the guy selling the fruit and veg doing it at a discount rate. It really does take that as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think just like those little ways that you can just get ahead, you know, like I think just, you know, my parents being able to save like maybe $20 on groceries, but, you know, being able to put that money aside to help out when eventually we did get our residency and you know, citizenship and all that sort of thing. But, you know, I think there's just so much need. I think just the pandemic has just created a whole other level of need for people and especially, you know, young families and having to be able to feed little kids during a really uncertain time is something that it's just, it's really heartbreaking.
Well, and what the beautiful part of your story is, Rochelle, is that because people were generous to your parents and your family, you now want to pass on that generosity. And I find that quite often with kindness, that when someone is showing kindness, that person then wants to be kind in return. And
absolutely,
that is how we're going to, you know, help other people. And that's how we're going to heal some hurts. So
yeah,
I think that's why we wanted to give you the platform this morning, because what you're doing is a really beautiful thing. And we wanted to let everybody know that, so $20 from every product sold from Nilla Botanics is going to Food Bank to help with your Christmas campaign.
Yes, it is. And I'm so excited. I mean, like, one of our main products is our Bloom Hair Vitality Oil, which is amazing for, I was experiencing some crazy postpartum hair loss after having my daughter 5 years ago. And in my research, I kind of rediscovered things my grandmother did with me as a little girl of putting oil in my hair. And then, you know, we've just had so many people use our skin products and say that they're all organic and natural, so you can use them on kids and things, but like just healing scars and psoriasis and eczema and all that sort of thing. But, you know, I was like, it's great that we're able to help people with like their appearance, but I also want to be able to give back in other ways. So yeah, just like being able to be generous in, and you know, we're not a big company yet, you know, big plan, but I just want to be like, you know, just like the smallest thing can make such a difference to someone's life.
Absolutely.
It is crazy to think that the happiest time of year for most people can be the toughest time of the year
absolutely
for others. Because you look around and you see everyone, you know, enjoying their Christmas, and that's what you really want, but not able to achieve it, which makes it even tougher at this time of the year.
Definitely.
All right. Well, get behind it. $20 from the products. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks, Rochelle.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, fingers crossed. The sales go through the roof.
Yeah.
You can get that money to Food Bank.
Thank you so much. That would be amazing.
Cool. Okay. Trending
right now. Hit.com.au. It's easy to do the double click on that button, and if you double click accidentally, it fades out. So that's what happens there. That's all good. We're here.
Yeah. We're here with this amazing story that's happened overnight. So you may cast your minds back to 1987. 1987. Whoa. Whew, that's a long way back. Tiffany had a really big song. I think we're
alone. Oh, this one spanned decades. I was one in 87, but I remember this.
But you know the song, yeah.
I know the song, yeah.
Pretty timeless. So she was a teen pop idol in the late 80s and the early 90s.
One hit wonder?
Apparently she had other songs.
Oh, did she? Okay.
That's
apparently
the only one that I can tell you that I know. Maybe if you played me another one, I might be like, oh, yeah, maybe that's Tiffany, but they all sound the same, to be fair.
I think it's the only one we have in our radio system, so that's a fair sign for Tiffany.
It's the only one that we need to discuss right now, because Tiffany is back on the road, ladies and gentlemen. She has dusted off her microphone and her guitar. Wait, does she play guitar? I don't think so. Anyway, she's doing a run of shows in the US, and there is some brilliant audio, thanks to TMZ, that has been captured of her having a bit of a meltdown towards the crowd. And I think what is happening in the show is that people are not really paying full attention to her. Like, there's a little bit of heckling maybe. So I think she was trying to get the audience's attention when she told them to F off, which is terrible language. But, you know, she was in a bit of a moment. Maybe she was doing it for shock value, trying to get their attention. So she swore at the crowd. And then she said, "This is my hit. I'm going to sing it right. And then this is what happened next. Look out! Splitting and off key is how the performance has been described by an onlooker.
Sounds just the same. Crank this one up, Maddie. Just get there. It is. Yeah, I can hear it.
You know, it's a bad day when your representative has to make a comment.
What did they say?
To TMZ about your performance. Mm. And they were just like, oh, she was just getting frustrated with her voice.
There's a lot to get frustrated about. Having a listen to that. Hang them up, Tiffany. The time has come.
I feel like there needs to be a rule in pop music where if it gets to a certain amount of time after your number one hit, you're not allowed to get back on the stage unless you can do it justice. Because I think about, okay, so think about now, so 2021 now, who is really popular with all of their music, like one of the biggest pop icons of our time? Let's say Taylor Swift, would you agree?
Ariana Grande.
Grande. No one wants to see those girls perform when they're 50.
But maybe they should do like an Australian Idol, American Idol judging panel where you have to impress them before they put you back through to the live shows.
That's a show that I would watch.
Yeah, you know, like washed up stars that come back and go, I want to make a return. And they go, yeah.
Or they
listen to Tiffany and go, absolutely not, Tiffany. Or they just put you through for a laugh, like the ones where they used to do at the start of that show where people couldn't sing.
Yeah, it's called American Washed Up Idol.
Love it. Yes, let's get it made.
3, 2, 1.
Space Chat.
Houston, we have liftoff at 10:20 tonight. I'm talking about the DART mission. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on the show. The double asteroid redirection test that NASA is launching. Do you remember this story? So NASA are sending a spaceship or a craft or a rocket, I'm not really sure what they're called, something into the sky, and in September next year it's going to blow up an asteroid that's hurtling towards the Earth.
Well, that's the crazy part about it for me, that they shoot it off now and this happens next year. What the hell? How do you work that out?
It's so cool.
Imagine getting that wrong by like a millisecond. You know what I mean? And I reckon it would be that tight too.
It's so good. So the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket is going to be launching tonight. You can watch all the live coverage on NASA TV, which is the NASA agency website. So if you are really into your space stuff, I mean, definitely stay up and watch this. So the whole point of this, and this, I was just reading about this morning and I wanted to share because it's pretty crazy. So the mission's target is an asteroid that they've called Dimorphos.
Dimorphos is coming for us, is it?
Dimorphos. It's a small moon orbiting the near-Earth asteroid Didymos. Now, this is not like a hip-hop bit. This is
Names.
This is what NASA have done.
We've run out of words.
This is NASA's first full-scale demonstration of the type of technology that they have on behalf of, and I quote, planetary defense.
Imagine that gig. I want that gig. I want to work for planetary defense.
How hectic.
You wouldn't trust me with it. No way, but yeah.
My goodness. So this is the first time in history that humans will have altered the dynamics of the solar system in a measurable way, according to the European Space Agency.
The first time. This is the first time we've had to do something like this.
Now, I don't know if we have to do this, or if we're just throwing it out there to see if it works, if we need to do this down the track, because asteroids do come slightly close to Earth often, and they have been since the dawn of day, because we've been a rock floating around in the solar system for billions of years, right?
Yeah. So it's all guessing from here.
We haven't been destroyed by an asteroid yet.
Yet.
But
the key word.
What I love is
the dinosaurs were, though, right?
I don't know. I wasn't around.
Well, that's what they say. The dinosaurs got done by an asteroid.
But the planet still survived.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time.
What's that?
Just What's wipe that? Us out and start again. Do a reset. Bring on Demorpheus. 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Trending right now. Hit.com.au.
Well, Kate Perkins is a local leading cancer rehab occupational therapist and lymphedema therapist who helps individuals diagnosed with cancer to improve their quality of life. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
What you do is incredible work. My grandmother passed away from breast cancer, so this is always in the back of my mind on how we can, you know, prevent it, absolutely. But people living with it, it is a really rough journey for some. So giving people an online exercise rehab program is something that you've created.
Yes, absolutely. I see women every day in my clinic, so I'm booked out. Which in cancer rehabilitation, it involves so many components, and one of those components is exercise rehab.
Mm.
And so I just wanted to be able to reach as many women as possible. So I've developed the Bounce Back from Breast Cancer online rehab program based on the specific exercises I prescribed for breast cancer rehab.
So can you tell us about the scholarship that you are offering with Bounce Back from Breast Cancer?
So I was lucky enough to get funding from the Davistown RSL, and I wanted to put that funding towards creating a scholarship project to be able to support, at this point, 10 women on the Central Coast who are diagnosed with breast cancer, undergoing treatment, or are in recovery. They're unable to access face-to-face services like mine and are experiencing financial hardship. So I wanted to be able to create this scholarship so they can access the Bounce Back from Breast Cancer Foundation program and 6 months membership for free.
Kate, this would appeal to so many families on the coast. We know that. How do they get involved? Listening right now, they want to be a part of this?
They can get on my website, www.lymphaticsolutions.com.au, and there's a pop-up right there when they get on the page, and press the link to apply. And there's information about the Bounce Back from Breast Cancer program and registration to apply. And closing date is actually tomorrow, but I want to extend that to the 30th of November, and then we will get in touch with the 10 successful applicants.
That's going to be tough to pick your 10, isn't it, Kate? Everyone's so worthy, you know?
Exactly. And I feel that, absolutely. But next year, we're going to try and get apply for some more funding.
Amazing.
So I can go bigger with this.
Okay.
Is there anything we can do to give that a push or anything, Kate? Like, is there anything that can be done to get more funding?
I will be taking Bounce Back from Breast Cancer to a not-for-profit organisation, creating a not-for-profit organisation. So I'll get in touch when that happens.
Please do.
We'll create some events to raise funds for that.
Okay, so the applications for the scholarship, they're also available via the Davistown RSL website, and you've just confirmed with us this morning, Kate, that you're pushing back that closing date until the 30th of November.
Correct.
So people can apply, and it's for people who have been diagnosed with breast cancer.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
What amazing work you do helping people in such a challenging and such a confronting time, you know, all with the premise of helping them have a quality of life even in the face of adversity. So, Kate, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me on and spreading the word. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, that's it for another show with Gaundy and Maz. And while you can make Christmas yours with Spotlight, like and subscribe to Gaundy and Maz now and catch them live from 6 a.m. weekdays. This is here.